Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. King Size washers available at up to 16 kilogram capacity. That's a team of footy jerseys all in one load.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Duck, we always love having a guest in the studio, and no more so than this man. He's just pulled the pin after 155 wonderful games with the Melbourne Football Club. Mark Jamo joins us. G'day, Mark.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, wonderful to see you. It's how did the news come to you during the week that you and the Melbourne Footy Club were parting ways? Obviously on good terms, but maybe probably had a little bit left in the tank.
Yeah, so Thursday morning, I had my end of season meeting with the coaches and the recruiting staff and club admin, and we decided that time as a player had come to an end at the Melbourne Footy Club. So,
How is that after 14 or 15 years of your life putting your heart and soul into that footy club?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much half my life and it's my entire working life. So it's definitely an emotional day for me. But, I mean, I'm so fortunate to have spent 14 great years at the Melbourne Footy Club, and I'm forever grateful for the opportunity.
Duck's got a lot of questions for you about footy and moving forward. But we heard Stevie J this week saying he thinks he's got a bit left in the tank, and if the opportunity arises, where do you sit as far as your football career goes? Are you retired full stop? Are you open to offers?
Well, at this stage, I'm just going to take a few weeks to spend time with family and consider all the options and things like that. So, haven't ruled anything out yet, but definitely not going to put my hand up and say I'm going again and things like that. So,
but you're not retired officially?
Not retired officially. Okay. The body's good, and I really enjoyed playing footy this year, which is a great sign to me. So, yeah, we'll discuss it with the wife and mum and dad and things like that, and see what unfolds.
You've only had a couple of days for it to sink in. What is the overriding emotion?
I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is you're going to miss your teammates. I mean, you're with these guys 7 days a week pretty much, and, you know, long hours, and you're doing it tough together at times, and, you know, you build a lot of close relationships, and you shit-stare each other, and you play practical jokes on each other, and you cop hidings from the coaches with each other, and that's probably the main thing I'll miss, I reckon.
You've seen Maxi Gawn. He's, I think he's sort of, he had a game down at Geelong where he sort of took his game to a new level. You would have had a little bit to do with him and helping him get to where he's got to, because he's had some pretty serious injuries as well.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that with Maxi. I'd seen him play like he did down in Geelong in the VFL over the last number of years, and it's great to see him make that step up to the AFL with the big boys and actually, you know, show us what he can really do. And I was really proud of him, and you can definitely see why he's going to be our number one ruckman, you know, along with Jake Spencer, you know, for many years to come.
Well, speaking of Mark Jamo on the Dead Set Legends, we like to tackle the big issues on this show, Mark, as you know. The Big Russian, the nickname, you're from Port Pirie. Have you ever been to Russia? Can you speak any Russian? Is Jamo a Russian name? Have you sat next to a Russian person on a plane at some stage?
Well, funnily enough, yeah, never been to Russia. Right. Not one part Russian in me.
Right.
Mum's Italian, dad's Dutch. So where that came from, I think, was first week at training, I had the, you know, the short back and sides, flat top, and I think Craig Ellis and David Schwartz said...
Oh, you had the Drago look.
The Drago look. And it, as you know, Duck, with all nicknames you hate and you don't want to be called, they stick.
The old flat top.
Yeah, the old flat top, all right. Didn't have any rinse in it back then, but I think the next year or two I put a bit of blonde through it, and yeah, it's a bit of a funny one.
And you're a Port Pirie boy. Now, you know how whenever you're from a little town, and I know a few. Do you know the Hamiltons? You know Stevie Hamilton, Bomber Hamilton, family?
No, I don't. But guys like Mark Bickley.
That's gone down like a lead balloon then.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was nice radio. That was ducky. Well, research, you could have asked him in the ad break, but anyway.
Well, we didn't have an ad break.
Well, I did move away when I was 17, so I've probably got an excuse.
And you moved straight to Moscow and spent 10 years there before you got down to the Melbourne Footy Club. Moving forward, what are you thinking about doing in life? Hopefully there might be some more footy there. Looking at you, straight into male modelling, Duck, I would have thought a very good-looking
good-looking rooster.
What are we thinking about going into?
No, well, I do enjoy, obviously, being a ruckman for a long time, and I'm pretty passionate about the ruck work, and I'd love to, you know, work with some young guys, you know, and do some ruck coaching in the future. So that's something I do want to work towards. I also have a passion for building and the building and construction industry. So that's something I'd love to transition into when, you know, time in footy comes to an end. But yeah, as you said before, I wouldn't even mind doing, you know, some ruck special comments or something like that along the way if the opportunity presents itself, whether it be radio or TV or something like that.
Well, so, if you want to apply for this job, a Duck's role, you can roll in at 5 to 9. do zero research, ask me what we're talking about, and then away you go, Mark.
In
it's not that
can
hard.
I wear my huggies?
Yeah, you can wear your huggies.
All right, well.
I really take offence
well,
to
that. Well, you resent that, do you, Ducky?
Considering
boy.
I was in here an hour before you this morning.
Well, that's because you came back on the red eye. Yeah, Duck did want to ask you about one of the premier ruckmen in the competition, Ducker. You were talking to me about earlier on.
Nick Natanui. How good is he? I mean, he doesn't need to get a lot of the ball, doesn't need to take a lot of marks, but he is almost unstoppable at the moment.
Yeah, he is, and he's such an explosive weapon, and I don't think anyone can actually keep up with him when he takes off either. So not only is he such an aerial dynamic beast with the height he gets and, you know, his ability to hit his teammates with the palming of the ball, but once he's up and going, he's hard to stop.
Going forward, you've seen a lot of footy. You've played against the majority of teams. Who wins the premiership, Mark?
Oh, it's hard to go past the Dockers. Mm. I think it might even be a Dockers West Coast Grand Final, and and it'd be a shame that they'd both have to play over here. But with the two prelims probably going to be in Perth, I think it's going to be hard for anyone else to get over the line.
Well, I'm just one of the great Melbourne captains. I'm looking out here, and the Saturday rub's about to come up, and a lot of the good scribes were saying that the winner of last night wins the premiership. So off the back of that, West Coast are certainties.
West Coast it is.
Everyone keeps riding off the Fremantle Dockers. I don't know why. I think that they'll go about their business today.
Well, the big Russian, who's not Russian, he didn't. He just said that.
No,
the
I know.
Fremantle
I know. That's why
win.
I'm giving him some credit.
What are you doing next Saturday between 9 and 12? Duck's just getting a little edgy.
I'd be more than happy to have a Saturday morning off, Howard.
You have every Saturday morning off. That was my point. Hey, Mark, we appreciate your time. Best of luck going forward, whether it's playing footy, being a male model, be a Russian interpreter, or whatever you choose to do next in life.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Great to speak to Mark Jamar, retiring from the Melbourne Footy Club after 155 great games. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Adam, Wayne Carey, Duck. I was just running over our next guest. Stats, 312 games. Eight
All-Australians. Mate, he is the greatest crow to ever play. And by the way, his two best years, 2003, 2004. Guess what years I was at the Crows?
When was that?
2003.
Oh, is that right? So it would be fair to say that he's got one more All-Australian than you.
He has, although four of his were on the bench. But
hello, Roo.
Oh, God, Duck. Yeah, you won three grand finals too. Two for the fourth, better ones, don't they? Going to roll that line out as well.
You're spot on. I had a little bit to do with you winning your first grand final, Rupert.
Yes, you did. You kicked one goal five. Yeah. Thanks for doing that. I appreciate that.
Hey, Roo, wonderful, wonderful to have you on. You saw the game last night. We've sort of gone across that. So we'd really love to speak to you about the Adelaide Crows and their last sort of 4 weeks and how they're tracking going into finals. It's from what's been a really tough situation, this footy club's really come good.
Been unbelievable. It's been a tough year. And look, I think everyone's going to rule out round 23. I think you can forget everyone went around. And I was always thinking that Geelong would beat us down there, sending out their stars in the way they did. But the month prior to that, we being Adelaide, did the job on Richmond in Adelaide in convincing style. Probably should have won by about 80 points that day, but kicked inaccurately. That was the week after Richmond had knocked off Hawthorn in convincing fashion as well. And then gave Brisbane and Essendon a bit of a touch-up, like most people were at that stage. And then blew West Coast Eagles out of the water in the first quarter, 8 goals to 0, and ended up winning by 50-odd points. So that form's probably as good as anyone, but it is only over the last month. And prior to that, the Crows hadn't really played very good footy against the top eight sides, but the best footy has certainly come at the latter part of the year, and that's what they're going to have to replicate over the next month if they're going to do something in September.
Hey, Roo, I'm glad you brought up that Richmond game. I was over there, and you were exactly right. They had a really good win against Hawthorn, but you took away their run. You made them kick to a contest, your defensive pressure, and the way you came up to put pressure on that next player, leave your opponent, team defence, that's exactly what you have to do to the Bulldogs. You have to take away their time and space and don't allow them to play their running game. And that's why I've tipped the Crows. I think you have the ability to do that.
Yeah, well, that's what the Bulldogs do. That's what West Coast Eagles do. And when the good sides do it and do it well, it is hard to score against. And yeah, they've just been fantastic, honestly. The first half of the year, the Crows had probably an average of 7 or 8 of their best 22 out. Now, we all know you can't play anywhere near your best footy when you've got that out. But over the last month or so, just about got everyone back in the side. Brad Crouch hasn't played a game all year, and Matthew Yench did his knee. So they're the only two players out of the side. So full strength, fit. You know, the midfield at the moment is very strong. Sauce Jacobs is playing as good a football as he's played in his career. So you'd think he'd win the ruck tonight against Will Minson. If he does win the ruck, then you've got a really good midfield underneath it, which are the number one contested ball side in the competition. And contested ball is plays a huge role in winning finals, and we saw that again last night with the West Coast Eagles being strong in that area. And look, the Crows forward line's as potent as anyone's at the moment. So if that all plays out, then they're a big chance. But look, the Western Bulldogs, I'm not sort of taking anything away from them either. The West Coast Eagles flogged Adelaide earlier on in the year, and their best footy's very good as well. So their forward line's dangerous, their midfield's potent. And it's a couple of their running backs, whether it's Easton Wood intercepting Mark or Robert Murphy's run from back there, it's very good as well. But, yeah, just I think both sides are confident they're going to win tonight, so it should be a good game.
Absolutely. They've got a bit of versatility about them now, the Bulldogs. Stringer comes up, Cramery comes up through the ground. Talia, he's the one, obviously, he's your stopper. Has he got the ability to play? Will he play on the bigger player down there? Has he got the ability to play on a Stringer?
He certainly hasn't got the speed to play on a string. It'll be interesting to see which way the Crows coaches go, whether they put him on the big fella Redpath
yep.
Or they give him the go on the most damaging forward in Stringer. I reckon they'll probably go with a smaller player like either Cheney or Brody Smith on Stringer and put Talia on the big fella.
Yep.
I think that's a better matchup. So Talia has been brilliant all year and did a job on Kennedy a couple of weeks ago as well. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting matchup. Stringer kicked 6 3/4 in round 4. But the Crows, they've played 2 real bad games for the year, the Crows. One was against Bulldogs in round 4. The other one was against Sydney when Adam Goods missed down that game up at the Swans. Those 2 games have been shockers. Apart from that, they've been pretty good.
Roo, as we let you go, obviously you're heavily involved at the Adelaide Footy Club and very focused on this weekend and finals, and hopefully you continue for a couple more weeks yet. But the coaching situation, you've got Scott Camporeale, who for all intents and purposes is doing a wonderful job. You don't need to let things tick over too long because people need coaches at the moment. So where's the Footy Club at with that situation?
We're going to appoint Duck. Very soon to come over and help us. No, look, we've got a few irons in the fire. There's a few out there that we're having a look at, and I reckon we'll have a coach in the next month or so. There's no real rush. We're confident we'll get the right person by just doing a thorough investigation like we did last year. So we're confident we'll get the right setup, Howie. And if we do that, we think we've got a good list and a good group of coaches and an improving footy department. And we'll continue to get better over the next few years.
Hey, Roo, just quickly, are you confident in keeping Musha?
Well, he's still at the club. He's smiling a lot. He's having a good time. He must be enjoying being at the Crows. I think if he wants to get back into footy, I think it'd be a pretty good place to be, but time will tell on that.
And, Roo, one word answer. I was watching the Fox Sports coverage last night. David King was explaining the web.
Mm.
Do you understand it?
I do. All it is a zone.
It's exactly.
A Jared Healy. How he likes to fire things up a little bit. It's just a very tight group of players all playing in a certain area instead of on a man. And last night, those young, smaller West Coast defenders did an awesome job. And once they got it, they just ran really hard and delivered the ball really well to their forward line. So I think it's just kicking the ball in, getting tangled in the web, going to get the ball and going to kick a goal, something like that. Does that make sense, Harry?
Yeah, not really. As much as I had a last
one. I hope one of the spiders in the web gives Kingy a bite on the toe so he can stop a little bit of his rhubarb.
Hey, boys, getting it flimmed and carnivals underway today. Race 3, number 15, Duck. Just put a little bit of your hard earned on
Race 3, number 15.
Sovereign Nation. All right, I'm back to first up. I'm on it for the guineas and I reckon I'll get up today.
Thanks, good on you, Roo. Responsibly. Thanks, Roo.
Race 3, number 15. Good luck to you and the Crows, Roo.
See ya.
Ducky boy, you head yourself to the Wacker for the big bash, the furnace as they call it. And whenever our next guest has ball in hand, takes a catch, comes to the wicket to bat, doesn't matter what he's doing, the crowd go absolutely bananas.
Superstar.
He is a superstar. His name is Brad Hogg. He joins us on the line now from Perth. Hello, Hoggy.
How you going, guys? So I wouldn't call myself that. I think the duck there was probably the biggest superstar going around in sport in Australia.
Hey, you want to see the smile on his face?
I wanted to ask you how you keep yourself fit away from cricket. Now, I did play a game of footy with you a couple of years ago. You're a handy footballer. Have you had any more games?
Yeah, actually, I went up last year as well. So it's always good to get back and play the odd game of football in the off season. Growing up as a kid, it was always AFL and cricket over here. And when you sign the contract to play for WA in Australia, you weren't allowed to play football. So it was disappointing that you can't play two sports. So I did take up umpiring at one stage, and they did say I was consistent umpire, consistently rubbish.
Hoggy, 44 years of age now. A lot of people focus on that, but you're still getting the job done. The Scorchers have been unbelievable in the Big Bash. No doubt a good squad's being assembled again this year.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. We haven't had too many changes from the squad last year. I think we're just waiting on the two overseas, and it's pretty similar to the last couple of years. And I think that's one. The best thing about it is that we've always been written off at the start of the season, and we've always managed a way to gel. And we're a very tight group. We're a group that really get on. And when we're in a tight situation, we manage to pull our way through it.
Moving away from the Wacker, moving forward, a big decision for West Australian cricket. I saw that Dennis Lilly had walked away from the Wacker. He wasn't happy with the situation, but likely not the major tests and cricket being played at the Wacker when the new one's ready to go. It probably won't affect you, although you still could be playing. How do you sit on it all?
Look, if we do get to the new stadium in 3 years' time, I'd like to be able to still play and have that opportunity to play. But look, I'm a big fan of the new stadium, just as long as we get the drop-in wicket that's very similar to the Wacker. And I think that's what we've seen around the world when we've got drop-in wickets. They're very similar. And we still want those characteristics of when you go to a certain city that they still have those characteristics. So the drop-in wicket's got to be the same as what the Wacker produces. If not, we've got to stay at the Wacker. So I don't want to see cricket around Australia, the same contest, because the drop-in wicket just produces the same result.
Duck, do you think we've been respectful enough to Hoggy and asked him enough questions before we get into the reason why he's come on?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Hoggy, for those that aren't aware, and Hoggy knows exactly what's coming here, released through the Scorchers an extraordinary video where he's taking off MC Hammer to re-announce the fact that he's re-signed with the Scorchers. This is just a little bit of it.
Can't touch this. Break it down. Hoggy time.
Hoggy time. Hoggy, come on.
You look like you're enjoying yourself, Hoggy.
Yeah, I actually love doing that. And it's we did something like that last year. What was it? Guess Who's Back. That's right. Guess Who's Back last year. So the marketing department of the Wacker tried to get me involved in it last year, and we really enjoyed it. And it was a good reception from the public. And it's more about trying to promote the game of cricket during the winter and getting the spectators to see what happens behind the scenes and just enjoying it.
But by the look of that film clip, it might be a little bit of room for Wanye.
Now, so you won't understand that Duck operates as Wanye Carey when we sort of move into the entertainment area. What did the Mrs. Hoggy and the kids think of seeing their old man there in sort of happy pants
Hoggy time.
And a mesh top, Hoggy?
I think the missus was hoping that I actually filled the pants out a lot better than what I do. She was also one behind it. She's been in the entertainment game for 25 years, so she was working with the marketing department in the Wacker to sort of give them the limits that I'd actually do. So, she was behind it as well. So, look, it's great fun to be able to do those type of things, and, just shows that you're a bit of an idiot outside of the game of cricket.
Hey, Hoggy, we appreciate your time. We can't wait to see you bamboozling everyone with the wrong in this summer on Network 10 on the Big Bash. No doubt another great year for the Scorchers. Thanks for having a chat with us.
No, thanks very much, guys, and thanks for the support for the Big Bash.
Yeah,
thanks,
Big Hoggy. Bash coming up on Network 10. Something to look forward to. The Scorchers, again, be the team to beat.
What is that mascot? Is that type of bat?
No, it's sort of a dragon. Harry Scorcher. No, I don't know what he's called. Mark Jamar will join us next on the Dead Set Legends.
You just made that up.
I did. Triple M. The sun is shining in Melbourne town, 21 degrees, footy finals and some V8s coming your way as well. Duck, our next guest, as well as being a superstar behind the wheel, he's a sort of handy lower order batsman and sort of your Jeremy Coney style medium pacer as well on the cricket field. His name is Jack Perkins. He joins us now from Sandown. Hello, Jackie boy.
Hey, Guru. Hey, Duck. Yeah, look, I can bowl, but I'm most happy about the Eagles last night. You probably don't realise that I'm an Eagles fan.
Yeah, no, and that's the end of the interview. Thanks for joining us, Jack. No, we realise, mate. I know you're a West Coast man. Now, they took their opportunities last night. People won't realise that you're coming in to drive the endurance events for a big, big team, HRT. You were going to be the second driver behind James Courtney. He had that unfortunate incident where he is out injured after the helicopter. So you are now the lead driver for one of the marquee teams in V8 Supercars. It's a big weekend for you, young man.
Yeah, mate, you're right. It absolutely is. And, I mean, the Holden Racing team is, you know, it's so big in its profile. And it's a bit like Ferrari in Formula One. It's the team everyone wants to drive for. So to be picked out to drive with HRT was awesome. And then, yeah, unfortunately, James was out of action. I substituted for him at Eastern Creek at the last race. And now, lining up as the lead driver, it's something I didn't expect. And under the circumstances, it's not how you want to grab the opportunities, but I'm looking forward to making the most of it. And I've got the old boy, I've got Russell Ingall with me. So he won a couple of Bathursts with Dad, you know, some 20 years ago. So it's pretty cool from a history point of view as well.
Yeah, it certainly is. I hope he's lightened up a bit. He always used to be a hard man to interview, Russell Ingall, Duck. He's a man you steered away from. But Jack, you mentioned he'd raced with your father and the opportunity presenting itself for you. I guess you need to take it like any normal weekend, but there will be extra pressure on you because people know this is a fast car.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, unfortunately, the last couple of races, they haven't been as competitive as they like, but it's just the nature of the game here. I mean, it's so competitive that you just got to be on top of your game. And these opportunities for young blokes like me don't come around that often. So we've got the all-important qualifying session today, which determines the grid position for a couple of sprint races this afternoon, which determines the grid position for the big 500K race tomorrow. Mm. So, yeah, it's pretty important today. We need to make sure we're up the pointy end and you know, really sticking up to these forwards. We need to get the Holdens back up there.
Hey, Jack, big news this week. One of the biggest sports stars in Australia, Buddy Franklin, came out and we all found out that he was an epileptic. Now, I believe you're a diabetic and obviously with the endurance rounds coming up, how difficult is that and what do you have to put in place to get through the races?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of guys in professional sport. You guys might remember Nathan Bassett from the Crows.
Yep.
He had type 1 diabetes as well. I worked with him quite closely when I first got it and worked out what I needed to do in the car. And, you know, it's just a matter of making sure your blood glucose levels are stable enough to not have any dramas. And I manage it quite closely in the car. I've got a Gatorade drink bottle in there to top up. And, yeah, it's just one other thing. You know, I've got three or four guys that are technicians on the car and they make sure the car's in working order. And I've got to make sure I'm in working order as well. So, yeah, it's one more little thing there that I need to worry about. But touch wood, I haven't had a drama in about 8 years of racing with type 1. And I don't think it will present us any problems this year.
Jack, obviously there's a lot of talk about fitness in V8 supercars, and whenever you boys come on, Duck sort of chuckles to himself because he's not sure you blokes are that fit. Now, obviously seeing you...
I watched the Rexona, you know...
Yeah, we saw Frosty in action on the Rexona Greatest Australian
and
Athlete.
And they did very well.
Well, if you'd seen Jack, you realise that he doesn't do any weights because that's sort of not his go. But how much cardio do you need to do to prepare yourself for this week and then a couple of weeks' time in Bathurst?
Guru, the thing is, mate, I don't need to worry about having a beach body like you. I just need to make sure I'm fit enough. But yeah, look, I mean, the reality is these cars, a lot of people don't realise they're quite hot inside. So the cabin temperature's around 50, 55 degrees. So you can lose between 3 kilos or 4 kilos of body fluid an hour. So you need to be quite fit to sort of get around that. I mean, one thing we could do is unbutton the top shirt, Duck. What do you reckon?
always have a couple of buttons undone, Jack. You know that.
Jackie boy.
Tell me, I'm actually a little bit nervous, Jack, because next Tuesday, I'm actually jumping in the car with Lee Holdsworth and going to go around with a couple of hot laps. What can I expect?
Well, Lee's part of the same team as me. So, look, I can't guarantee you to be as fast the hot lap as with me. But what I can say is this track is one of the quickest ones we go to. It'll be 270K down the back straight, and I reckon you'll have white knuckles on the dashboard, mate.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
Something to look forward to. Hey, Jack, we really appreciate your time. Best of luck this weekend. It's a wonderful opportunity for you. May you take it with both hands and maybe even get up there on the podium or even the top step, young man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Long-time listener, and go the Eagles.
Yeah, that's on it. Jack. He's just sort of firing. So I like his one about unbuttoning the shirt sleeves as well.
He obviously listens in.
That's right. Next, we need to speak to the Matildas' leading goal scorer of all time, Kate Gill, because these young ladies, Duck, are on strike. They're not going to the United States to play soccer. It will be hurting them, but they're trying to make a stand. We'll hear more of that next. That was Jack Perkins. I'm Mark Howard. He's Wayne Carey. She'll be Kate Gill on the Dead Set Legends. Guess galore. Triple M. Ducky boy, not only is it the tram drivers in this part of the world that are going on strike, our soccer players are being forced into that action. They're trying to sort themselves out, the men and the women, the A-League salary caps involved, and both senior teams expecting to be looked after a little bit better, to the point where now the Matildas, our female side, who had a wonderful World Cup, boycotting a two-game series in the United States of America. This is what David Gallop, the man in charge of the FFA, had to say about it yesterday.
The Matildas tour of the USA will not be going ahead. And the short point is this. The reason it won't be going ahead is because the FFA and the PFA have been unable to reach agreement regarding the A-League salary cap position and the extraordinary demands that the PFA have made in relation to the A-League salary cap has found the Matildas caught up in something that they shouldn't be caught up in.
All right, it is now time to speak to the Matildas' leading goal scorer of all time.
Is that a little bit disrespectful to the Matildas?
Well, there's certainly been a lot of angst between the two parties.
Well, they've been caught up in something that they shouldn't have been caught up in.
Well, let's ask the Matildas' leading goal scorer of all time, Duck. Her name is Kate Gill. She joins us on the line now. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation. The way David Gallop was putting it, that you guys had been caught up. But the way I understand it is there's a lot of unity between the men and the women. How do you see the whole situation? How's it got to this point where the girls aren't going to the United States of America?
Yeah, as you said, there is. There's a lot of unity within the football community and the players especially. And the girls, I think, have decided that enough's enough. They've been performing at a professional standard on a below minimum wage. And I think it's time that this was known and the girls are bargaining for better standards and better remuneration.
Hear, hear, Kate. I think it's fantastic because we know that the boys are generally well looked after, and I think it's about time you girls do get looked after. Is it true? So your annual base pay, $21,000, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It is. It's quite remarkable. I mean, given the amount of hours that the girls dedicate to the game and the sacrifices they make to walk away at the end of the year with $21,000 in your pocket.
Wow.
Kate, it's a big sacrifice, though. You don't get to play professional football that regularly. It's going to hurt a lot of the girls to be not playing against the United States, the gold medalists, the best team in the world. So it is a big decision to pull out of a tour like that.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's not the path you really want to take. You want to play the game you love, and the girls always want to be on the pitch. But I think it's a necessary action that needs to happen. It started to create some public chatter, and people are aware of the situation, and that's probably going to help us try and resolve these issues.
Really important the PFA stand strong, because what you girls do now, what you all do together now, will represent the future girls that want to play this great game. So I think you stand strong and follow it right through.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's about the longevity of the players and then also growing the game's capability in this country. And we want young girls to think, oh, great, we can have a pathway through football. We can make a career. We can make a profession out of it. And that's what we want the game to be. We want the game to be the number one game in this country.
How has it become tied into the A-League salary cap, the men's side of the game? And are you comfortable that it is tied in, Kate?
Look, we were bargaining for a whole-of-game agreement, and this was based off a revenue-sharing model from a TV deal, which would see a percentage of that go to all the players, and that was our initial focus. And, yes, it is divided. There are three categories we're looking at, the A-League, the Socceroos, and the Matildas, and we have our own battles and our own arguments, and that we've got our own demands on the table. But I think that the FFA have just branded it like that to obviously kind of, I guess, cast a bit of a shadow over everything in all the negotiation process at the moment.
Well, for any negotiation to move forward, there needs to be respect and understanding between the two parties. And from listening to you and listening to what David had to say, the two parties seem a long way apart at the moment, Kate, which makes any agreement really difficult.
Yeah, it makes it quite scary, and it makes it quite scary for the game itself. I think the demands that we've put on the table aren't that unreasonable. All we're asking for is to be respected and be remunerated for the the amount of hours that we play the game, and obviously to improve the standards that we have in play as well. I mean, the girls are still paying their medical insurance.
Wow.
You're paying your own medical insurance?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, well, there's some.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's quite extraordinary. Listen, we hope it all works out for you, Kate. As Duck said, I think you're all going to have to stick together. Hopefully, it all gets sorted out. And we see the wonderful athletes that that you girls are out on the pitch again soon. We appreciate you having a chat with us.
No, I appreciate your time, boys. Thanks very much.
That is Kate Gill, the Matildas' leading goal scorer of all time, paying their own medical insurance.
Superstar. Yeah, I know. Seriously, it's not good enough. And I thought David's, you know, speech there was very disrespectful.
Ducky boy, a couple of weeks ago, you sort of decided you needed to change your name and you become sort of a purveyor of all things media and entertainment. And this is sort of what happened.
Yeah.
Wayne's the worst name in the world. Yeah. And I heard him say, but I like one, yeah. Never, ever, ever getting back together. If I could turn back time. So I want to now be known as Wanye. That's
how long I've been on you. And I heard him say, Wanye. Wanye. Wanye, Kerry.
I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish.
Seriously, we're going to run with this.
And we are running with it. And as a result, Ducky boy.
That is very silly stuff. But
now, as a result, we're going to move into sort of all cultural areas. Now, the AFL announced this week their entertainers for the grand final. Now, obviously, Meatloaf was, he came out during the week and said, I quote, "On grand final day, I was spitting blood every night on stage. I've got nothing but grief and major hostility. I gave those people everything I had." He added about the AFL, "These were the cheapest people I've ever seen in my life. They were going to have 100 motorcycles and they rolled up with three. I don't understand the hostility towards me. This is why we're hostile." I want to do this. Oh, I won't do anything more. I don't care how many motorcycles you have, Duck. You can't fix that up.
Listening to that, I reckon Wanye could see it.
Now, as a result, the AFL announced this week, they came to you to get this signed off, being Wanye Carey.
Well, and there's a little bit of controversy that we didn't use any homegrown talent.
Where does Wanye sit on that?
Yeah, well, we'll get, I actually like their lineup. We'll start with Ali Goulding.
So she's headlining it. Where's Ellie from?
Don't know.
Right.
Does she have any other songs apart from that? Well, I like that song.
She only
has to sing one. They've got three people. I like Chris Isaak, who has sung some pretty big hits. You're a bad, bad thing. That's,
Am I a bad, bad thing, or did Baby do a bad, bad thing, Guru? I think Baby did a bad, bad thing.
I think the 100,000 people would get into both of those songs.
So you're happy with that?
And none better. I think I sort of grew up a little bit with this man, Bryan Adams, Summer of 69. Now, don't you think, now seriously, I can see all of those three songs there. I could see all of the majority of the people there would know those songs. So I think it's a really good choice. I think it's going to be very entertaining. Everyone knows Summer of 69. Let's hope he sings that, by the way.
He rolls up and doesn't sing that.
Well,
come on, Brian.
Well, I did go to Bruce Springsteen, and he never sang Born in the USA. So let's hope that he sings that. I tell you what, though, they could have gone after someone a little bit bigger.
Oh, who would you bring to the table? If you had your choice at their grand final, who would you go with?
Well, Kanye.
Oh. You kill me, mom. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. If your man Kanye rolled that out the grand final, there'd be a lot of girlfriends of footballers looking around thinking, is he singing about me?
How big would he be, though, Kanye? Well, he's going to be president in 2020, so we better get him out before then.
Would you think he should bring his entourage with him?
Absolutely.
Who would you like to see?
Well, he'd bring all Kim, all the Kardashians.
Right. What about your mate that's now a mate-ess?
Your
Caitlin.
You are fascinated.
Would Caitlin be
You're
here?
Fascinated with Caitlin.
I am.
I'm, there's some, I don't know, Howie. I might, okay. You might have to go and speak to someone.
All right, Wayne.
Might have to speak to Erica.
So how many quacks are you giving us for the grand final entertainment?
No, I four quacks for the entertainment, the grand final. I think they've done a really good job, and I know it's not homegrown talent, but you know what? It's about entertainment, and I think all of those three will do a really good job.
But you like,
well done, the AFL.
You like Kanye.
You know what? You're
here.
Always. You know what? You always look at the glass half. I think the AFL have done a really good job getting those three.
All right. Can you give us a bit of Bryan Adams as we move along here?
No, no. Come I'm on. Not ever singing Come again on. Because you Come set
on.
Me up. No.
Come on.
Move on.
Mark Howard, Wayne Carey.
On Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Wayne Carey. Disturbing news came to light this week, Duck, that our man the Hyphen now, obviously you don't know the Hyphen, he looks a bit like the bear out of Ted, would it be fair to say?
Spitting image.
Yeah, spitting image. Hyphen, I've got a couple of questions for you. Did you or did you not have a big function at the Shane Warne Foundation this week? And prior to going down there, did you get a pedicure and a manicure?
Yes.
Where?
Broadmeadows.
Who advised you to do this?
Well, Ducky Boy did.
Well, hey, you know why? I was in here for breakfast. I came in for breakfast the other day.
Yes.
Had a little look at Hyfe. Mm. He just about needed a chainsaw to get through his fingernails. Gunk underneath them. And I said, listen, are you going to a sort of fancy function like that, Hyfe? Mm. And you one, he's a single man as well. Mm. People look at your fingers and, you know,
do got they? A...
Well, yeah, of course they do.
Right.
And so anyway, he's taken my advice and his hands now look at that. Much more, I wouldn't have advised the nail polish show, Hyfe. You didn't have to go that far. He's gone for the clear lacquer on, I think they call them shellacs.
Is that what they call them?
He's gone a shellac.
The shellacs.
I don't know. I think that's
You don't know all of a sudden. Now, no. You were advising him a couple of weeks ago on how to apply aftershave, which you've rolled out in the hot breakfast and ripped yourself off there. But tell, what age were you when you first decided in all your masculinity?
Have you turned this into because you're the one on me? I've told him. And by the way, the first bit of advice for the Hyfe, and you said he looks like Ted, and he does, shave that beard off Hyfe because Pago always said to me, he said, you've got a beard, you've got something to hide.
Mm.
And I reckon, what are you hiding under there, Hyfe?
You should add a couple of beards in your time. Now, just quietly, how old were you when you've got your first pedicure?
I don't know.
Give us an idea.
Probably in Bali when I was 17. Right. You know, over there, you sit on the beach, and you know, you're giving something back to the locals over there.
So it's a charitable donation.
Well, exactly right. What else? You know. What else do you do on
and
the beach?
And how frequently would Wayne Carey get one of those
hang
Melbourne?
On. How's this turned into me? We're
because no one knows who Hyphen is, and you're the greatest player of all time, well, and I've
mate,
discovered
I've had,
you get
I've had
pedicures.
I've had the odd petty medi.
Right.
And
petty medi.
But I'm not a regular. Actually, I take my daughter Ella to get her nails painted every now and then. And while I'm there, I sort of sit there and. What's wrong with that?
No, there's nothing That's wrong what, with that one.
Howie, yet. You know what? You'll be doing that very soon. Don't worry.
There's no way in the world you'll find me doing that.
Well,
respect
actually,
to you,
I'm
brother.
Just having a look at your nails. They need a bit of a clip.
You know what they look like?
What?
Man's nails. Mark Howard, Wayne Carey, Brad Hogg to join us after 10 o'clock. Dead Set Legends. Come on, Hyphen. Triple
to be
M.
Clean.
Oh, come on.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. King Size washers available at up to 16 kilogram capacity. That's a team of footy jerseys all in one load.